There is much talk in religion today of the Holy Spirit. Much being said, many claims being made of Holy Spirit anointing and the work of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of the Holy Spirit, particularly in John, the Gospel of John, chapters 14 through 16. Now, what is being said today of the Holy Spirit greatly differs from what the Lord says in these chapters. The claims of Holy Spirit power and working today greatly differs from what the Lord said is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 16. John, chapter 16. Look at verse 13 with me, if you're following along. And the Lord says, "When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." Now, He's speaking to His disciples here, and He says to them, "He will guide you into all truth, the Spirit of truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but He will say the things that He's heard from Me." Well, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, uses one means to teach, to guide into all truth. One means. It is not the workings of signs and miracles and wonders which convinces of the truth or leads and guides into the truth. No. But rather the preaching of God's Word. Listen as I read from 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 and 14. Paul says to the church there, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit," or that is, a setting apart of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, "and belief of the truth whereunto He called you by our gospel." That is, He called you, God called you through the agent of the Holy Spirit, through the means of the preaching of the gospel. Preaching of the gospel. And the Apostle Paul says this in several places, but Romans 1, verse 16, Paul says, "The gospel is the power of God unto salvation." In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, he said, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And so the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth, is primarily at work in the preaching of the gospel, or the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Here in John chapter 16, our Lord goes into detail as to what the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the Word, what He convinces, or that is, reproves, rebukes, corrects, and instructs, and leads and guides His people into. Three things, He says, that the Holy Spirit will convince His people of. Read with me in John 16, verse 8. Our Lord says, "When He is come," that is the Holy Spirit, "He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." When the Holy Spirit is come, He will reprove the world of three things. Now, stop right there. When the Lord says He will reprove, or that is, convince the world, He is certainly not talking about every individual in the world. No. No more so than John 3:16 means every single individual in the world. For if God loved every single person, then every single person would be saved. God does not damn those whom He loves, but saves them. And this means that He has a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and people out of or in the world. Not just Jews, but a people out of the world whom He will convince. The Holy Spirit will reprove or convince the world, or that is, a people out of every tribe, kindred, and nation, of these three things. All right? Number one, He said, He will reprove the world of sin. Singular. It does not say sins, plural, but rather sin, singular. Or that is, the Holy Spirit will convince, will reprove, will rebuke, will instruct His people of their sinful nature. The first thing the Holy Spirit does is convinces a man, a woman, a young person of what they are. A sinner. Full of sin. Sinful. Full of sin. Now, everyone will admit to sins. Plural, sins. Everyone will confess to a degree that they have faults or have made mistakes. Most everyone feels some measure of guilt over committing particular sins or doing particular wrong things. But the Holy Spirit here, the Lord says, will convict of sin. Holy Spirit conviction is convincing us of what we are, sinners through and through. The apostle in Romans chapter 7 describes the nature and the feelings and this conviction which every sinner whom the Holy Spirit works upon has. And the apostle in Romans 7 says this of himself. And now he said this when he was a believer, when he was converted, not before. And he says in Romans 7, things that I would, I do not. And the things I would not, that's what I do. In other words, he says, the things that I would like to do, I don't seem to be able to do them. And the things that I don't want to do, the things I hate, that's what I seem to do. Until he reaches the point where he says in verse 24 of Romans 7, O wretched man that I am. This is the convicting, the convincing power of the Holy Spirit upon everyone whom He saves, whom God has chosen to save. He convicts them of what they are, sinners, until they reach the point with the apostle and saying, I am a sinner, a wretched man. I cannot seem to do anything but sin. I cannot seem to think anything but sin. Not like the Pharisees who think they are above or without sin, but no, rather that they are full of sin. As David said, my sin is ever before me. My sin is ever before me. He said in Psalm 38, David said, my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and that disease is sin. Notice the sin, or the root of it all, which the Lord says the Holy Spirit will convict or convince of. He says in verse 9, the Holy Spirit will convict of sin because they believe not on me. Unbelief. Or rather, not believing, not trusting, not looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if God's Spirit is at work upon a human being, He will convince them through the preaching of the gospel that they have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, they either haven't believed or cared about Him at all, and or they had believed the wrong one, the wrong Jesus, another Jesus, Paul said, or rather another gospel. And the Holy Spirit comes and reveals the true Christ, the true gospel, the true Lord Jesus Christ, as He is, seated on a throne, high and lifted up with all things and all persons in His sovereign controlling hands to do with as He pleases. Not a pitiful, weak, and helpless figure named Jesus, but rather an omnipotent, sovereign Lord on a throne named the Lord Jesus Christ. Which brings us to the next thing our Lord deals with, the next convincing power of the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 10, the Holy Spirit will convict of righteousness because I go to my Father, and you'll see me no more, he said. Now, the Holy Spirit convinces all whom God hath chosen, all whom God saves through the preaching of the gospel. The Holy Spirit will convince that person that they are worthless, helpless, dead sinners, and in need of a righteousness, or that is, a perfect holiness, a perfect righteousness, in order to stand before a righteous or holy God. Romans chapter 10 goes into detail. The apostle goes into detail in Romans chapter 10 concerning this righteousness which we must have to stand before God. Now, most persons believe in their minds that they need to be good in order to be saved. Most will admit that. And so many go about trying to be good, to do good, to quit this, to quit that, to start living right or righteously in order for God to accept them or approve of them. But that is not Bible righteousness. That is not the righteousness which God will accept. God looks on the heart. God demands absolute perfection in thought as well as deed. God demands absolute perfection or holiness and righteousness in the motive as well as the action. And who can have perfect motives or perfect thoughts? Well, in Romans chapter 10, I read, Paul says, many have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. They're being ignorant of God's righteousness, or that is, his perfect holiness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, that is, their own standard, which they think God will accept, of right and wrong and doing good, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And he concludes by saying in verse 4 that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's why Christ is called the Lord our righteousness. Jesus Christ is the righteousness of every believer. He is the only righteous standard which God will accept. It must be perfect as Christ, to be accepted. And what Christ did when he came to this earth was establish a righteousness for his people. On behalf of his people, he lived a perfect, holy life as a man for men. And imputed, now this is Bible language, Romans 4 speaks much of it. He imputed or charged this perfect life to his people, those whom God had given him to do this for. And now God accepts them. They are holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight by simply believing and trusting Christ as their righteousness. Well, this is what the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces of. And the last thing Christ says is of judgment. In John 16, verse 3, the Holy Spirit will convince or convict his people out of the world of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. That there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. That all accusations, charges, penalties have been answered by the Lord Jesus Christ, been paid for by Christ. All foes under his feet, and all of his enemies his footstool, and all of his people justified and accepted in God's sight because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this Holy Spirit conviction is of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and that through the preaching of the gospel. It is my prayer that the Holy Spirit will convict or convince you of these three things unto salvation. Until next Sunday, may it be so with you. Amen.